from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
We have got a Buffalo Bills football Monday here on WGR. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It is not, though, a Bills victory Monday. It's just preseason game number one, but they do fall to the Chicago Bears 33-6 on Saturday afternoon. Allen played the first quarter. My favorite part of the game was that in the middle of a drive, the first quarter ended and the second quarter started, Mitch Trubisky was in. I've never really seen that before. I always thought McDermott would be somebody that would be like, no, no, you're out there, you're going to finish off the drive, what have you.
Allen ran that ball and they said,
right.
That's enough.
Right.
he's getting antsy. Let's get him out of there.
let's just get him out of there. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here, helping you break it down. Overall, don't really see much to take from this game, ultimately, Josh. It was a game that you could kind of see the Bills went in there without really much of a plan, more of just get everyone to game speed, just kind of, you know, hit other people, what have you, get to do it in front of the fans, have a few of your starters go out there, run a few plays, and get out of there. Ed Oliver had a bit of a scare. After being cleared to return, they were like, cool, but no, get a hat on.
I remember on the bench. I hadn't got the game on at that point, and I texted you, and I was like, what happened?
Yeah. You just see that he's out, and you're like, no, no way.
And I think it's also interesting, because even though they didn't have a game plan, it kind of seemed like you saw a little glimpse of what they want to do with Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel specifically.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
Those two looked
exactly how I wanted them to.
Yeah. Like, the screenplay to Samuel and that one diving catch from Shakir, I'm like, yep, do that a thousand times this
year. Five total targets, five catches between the two of them. Mm-hmm. I'm happy as a clam about that. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with your usage. Shakir is exactly how I want it to be, which is that he's essentially a safety valve. He is a faster, quicker, maybe less refined version of Cole Beasley. But remember, the Bills got Cole Beasley well into his career. Mm-hmm. If they can now kind of mold Shakir into, again, a faster, bigger, stronger version of Cole Beasley, I think they've got a real serious weapon on their hands. Kincaid didn't really get anything from him. One catch, one target for 7 yards. Nothing really doing there. And Allen threw the ball
a total of three times, one of which is batted down, and then the other two were completed for 22 yards, one of them being a Shakir catch, the other one, yep, as you mentioned, the screenplay to Samuel. A game was played on Saturday. That is the best way I can describe it. A game was played.
There was live football in Orchard Park.
And that's about it. The Bills ultimately don't have this fun young rookie quarterback that they drafted in like the sixth, seventh round. We'll get to that. You know, so even, you know, getting to the second half, I'm sitting there as a Texas fan going, oh my gosh, I get to watch Shane Buechele hook 'em horns, baby. Let's go.
I saw that tweet and then I was like, oh.
And by the end of the fourth quarter, I was like, SMU can claim them. I'm good. I'm all right. No disrespect. I mean, I'm having fun there, but that's maybe the biggest takeaway I have from that, because even the offensive line, which looked very shaky, I think you can argue they're not really going in there with a plan. They're not necessarily, you know, marking down protections and stuff like that. It's very much just go out there, get up to game speed, stay healthy.
I think that was a lot of the conversation, too, from some of the players in post game is like, yeah, we didn't really have a game plan. We just wanted to go out there and play. And it's like,
That was clear. That was clear as day.
I get that, but it's also maybe don't do that. Maybe have some plan.
I don't love it.
I get you're not preparing for it like a regular season game, but at the same time, this is the time you ramp up to that regular season game style. So you kind of want to have a somewhat normal game day, right? Like, I think that you should probably have like half a game plan, a quarter of it. Like, you don't have to go full out and yeah, we got to watch this guy, that guy, and the other guy, because there's so many players that are going to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
You have so little time from the starters that you don't know who you're going to be preparing for. But you should just prepare for a like general, like wide stroke of this is what we should look for.
Yeah.
This is what you guys need to do. Let's go do it.
Well, I think they had up to that, I think, in terms of like everyone knows you're getting vanilla defenses, vanilla offenses, vanilla special teams. Like, you're not getting anything special.
Yeah, and that's why I said, like, when you saw what you saw from Samuel and Shakir, it's like, you see a little bit of what they want to do, but you're not seeing the full extent of it. Like,
I will tell
like where they're going.
And I will offer this up as somewhat of a defense for the Bills. I mean, it's a preseason loss. I simply don't care. But the Bears also did already play a game. They played their version of the backups. Just go get out there. It's the Hall of Fame game. Just go out there.
Because I mean, their starters, aside from Caleb Williams, played most of the first half. And I mean, the Bills kind of had the same thing. But when you don't have Allen in there, I feel like it's a little bit different, right?
It's
like
a little bit different, and it's concerning.
Yeah,
that's my one. Sure. That's my one big takeaway. Is the backup quarterback situation is alarming.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked with Derek Kramer on Bill's post game on Saturday night too. I understand if Allen's out for the year, sure, you know, use whatever phrase you want, punt on the year, tank for whatever. I get it. You lose the starting quarterback, especially as a superstar, you're probably moving on. I understand. But in the last few years, we've seen teams lose their quarterback for a game or two, maybe up to a month. Allen has picked up knocks and bruises, you know, that maybe should have him out for a game or two. How many times has he talked about his elbow and his shoulder messing up his throwing motion, and he kind of just plays through it? A little bit of a Brett Favre-esque, which, if you ask most Packers fans, look, they love the Iron Man streak from Favre, but there were times he should have sat out and gotten healthy instead of essentially hurting the team. I'm not saying Allen has done that, but I am saying that is a possibility. I look at the Bills' backup quarterback room. Again, week one, we've already mentioned it. It's a very raw and very just kind of get out there and go play. But watching Mitch Trubisky airmail two touchdown passes, almost throw an interception in the end zone on like his first drive, was a little concerning, and it only continued. And then you get to Buechele, and as I mentioned, you know, hook him, but no real pop on the passes. There's no real zip. And at times, too, talking with Jeremy White here right before they got out of here, throw the ball, man. Just let it fly. Throw the ball. And that's my thing, is you're going through such a transition with this offense. I mean, that's kind of how this year is being pegged, is it's a transition. You're not a rebuild, not a retool, but a transition. And it's concerning knowing that, like, man, if Allen goes down, like, I don't trust this offense to score. And again, this is off of one preseason game in which we are openly saying, like, it seems like they really, and they kind of openly saying, like, they didn't really come in with much of a game plan. But the throws were bad. They did not look good. I do want to talk to Sal potentially tomorrow about, like, how the backup quarterbacks have looked in camp, because I don't really know if there's even anyone out there that I'd like to go get. I mean, you mentioned right before we started today, like, Ryan Tannehill. I'm good. Really, where I'd want them to go, honestly, is kind of do it like the Patriots did, Joe Milton.
Oh, draft a rookie in like the sixth round.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, you know, specifically Joe Milton, but like get somebody that like sort of fits Allen's build, 6'5", bazooka of an arm, raw guy that you can sort of, you know, keep maturing, keep kind of building up, in part an entertainment value for the fans of like, all right, there's at least this young kid who, you know, is blown up camp because he's got this, you know, wicked athleticism or what have you. And it, you know, keeps us engaged into the fourth quarter. But also there's something along the lines, too, of like if Allen does go down, though, they've maybe got another option. And along with that, ask the Eagles, quarterbacks are a commodity. That is a resource that you can use to trade to get a second, third round pick because you've had this guy on your bench that has all these wicked talents and all these physical traits, but never gets to see the field. And then all of a sudden, someone's starter goes down. And you can use that to trade them because they're desperate, you know, what have you. Where right now, it feels like the Bills treat the quarterback position as like, who knows our offense? Who's a vet that we like and appreciate? You know, they're a nice guy. They're not going to say anything bad. I mean, like, really? The Bills treat the backup quarterback position like most of history has treated the vice presidency, which is like, be nice, don't screw up.
And just hang out.
And just hang out.
Well, and that's where...
Be a vibe. And that's how they treat it.
That's where we look back to our conversation a few weeks ago about the transition the Bills are going through, or what it looks like they've identified as, hey, we got to start to move off of these veteran guys. We got to get rid of, you know, we got to get younger. We have to move off of Mitch Morse, move off of Tre'Davious White, and Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde. That was the vibe this whole offseason. And then you still go out and you bring back the same backup quarterbacks. And that's something where you don't get younger. Like, I feel like that's somewhere you want to get younger. Because if you can get I'm just looking back at the draft here, somebody like Jordan Travis, who the Jets took, basically taking a flyer on him because he didn't play at all last year because of his, or well, he played, but he didn't play the whole year because of his injury.
Yep.
And that's just kind of like a, hey, let's see what happens. He was a great quarterback when he wasn't hurt. Let's see if he can continue to do that after he's back from the injury.
Keep him moving.
And looking at the Jets situation, they have Aaron Rodgers, and then it's time to move on to who? Oh, look, Jordan Travis actually impressed, and now we want to move on with him. Or, if you don't need him, you can trade him for maybe a good value.
Well, and that's why I bring up the Eagles. The Eagles essentially did this with Wentz, with Foles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, and they did that for a while of like, you made it a resource.
Right, and you may only get a third or a fourth round pick, but you're still getting something. You're not going to get anything from Mitch Trubisky or Shane Bouchel.
No,
they're just going to sit there, and it's
signing them to a year long deal in which you're always hoping they don't play,
right?
But it's just for me, it's along the lines. It's not the season long injuries. I get it. At that point, you probably should be punting on the year. I understand, but it is like those, you know, up to a month long injuries. I mean, we saw the Vikings keep their season alive last year when they went to Josh Dobbs, and even Justin Jefferson was out, and they still were kind of able to keep their season alive. They had a young fun quarterback out.
And Josh Dobbs went to Arizona and kept doing what he was doing in Minnesota.
Cleveland, ultimately, you know, Joe Flacco is kind of the anomaly there. But, like, you can see teams being able to keep their seasons alive. Deshaun Watson ultimately doesn't come into play the rest of the year. But there's a way to keep your seasons alive.
Yeah.
I don't see that how that would be a possibility.
Right.
With Mitch Trubisky or Shane Bouchel. And it was somewhat of an issue I had, like, going into this year. But it was always, like, it's backup quarterback. Who cares? But watching on Saturday, like, getting, like, the first glimpse of, effectively, the twos and the threes, it's alarming, especially when you've got a young receiving core who maybe aren't all with the ones with Josh Allen, you know, Tyrell Shavers, I'd like to see a little bit more of. And I feel like I can't because Mitch Trubisky is just not quality enough. Quentin Morris probably should have had a beautiful touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the worst throws I've seen in quite a while was when I think it was Trubisky's first drive. And just Quentin Morris is running in the middle of it. There's no one there. It's just a toss it. You're fine. And it's so far over his head, it's partially behind him.
That's the one where he's like falling into the end zone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
what about Zach Davidson?
You know,
continuing with the tight ends, like he is not somebody that's going to be playing with Allen all that much.
Mm-hmm. If he's someone that's showed out in training camp, then I'd like to see that on a higher level. If he's showing out with the twos and threes, what's he going to do with the ones? What's he going to do with Allen? And that's where, like, I'd like to see that too. I get to the point where if you have these young guys, if you draft a quarterback in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round, ultimately, like you said, it's not that big of a deal. But it's kind of like that picture of the iceberg where there's like a tiny bit above the water. It says, well, it's just the backup quarterback. And then there's this giant rest of the iceberg below the water that says, what if someone gets hurt? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like that's the basically how that position works when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen.
Oh,
so
Dan just tweeted in, the Patriots employed the strategy of late round quarterback dart throws for a long time. I use the Eagles. I think this might be the one. Castle and Vrabel to the Chiefs for a second. Ryan Mallett to the Texans for a conditional seventh. Garoppolo to the 49ers for a second. Brissett to the Colts for Philip Dorsett.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, yeah.
It's a resource. Mm-hmm. There are not actually 32 quality starting quarterbacks.
No.
In the league. But, we all kind of know that.
But
if you can fool a team or make a team think that maybe there's somebody there.
Right. Or if you can say, hey, you might need a backup because your quarterback's aging. And what if he gets hurt?
Yeah.
This guy, he's not a starter, but he's definitely a backup. Like, it's...
And again, like, I mean, the second round pick is kind of clearly like the highest you're going to get.
Oh, yeah. You're never going to get anything more.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
if you can add a second by just being like, yeah, we drafted a seventh round quarterback who was completely raw but had all these freak of nature tools that made him a five-star prospect out of high school. Awesome. And you turn that into a second round pick. That's free money.
That's trading Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
If you can draft a quarterback and then trade him a few years later for a second round pick, the same price that you traded a star wide receiver for, then there you go. But it's
more talking about it, not even in the sense of like the fear of like Allen's injuries.
No,
it's just the lack of
assets
like,
management.
Yes. There's a lack of like really anything of substance when it comes to the backup quarterback position. It feels like the Bills do just treat it as like, who's Allen's buddy? Who does he like hanging out with in the quarterback room? All right, cool, sign him up. And it hasn't worked. Like, it feels like every offseason going into the preseason, we're sitting here watching these backup quarterbacks going, they're kind of bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm being generous. I'm holding it in, but they seem kind of bad. Case Keenum was one I remember that like started off really bad, but was able to kind of turn it on.
Curved it up
but
a
like
bit.
Kyle Allen, no bueno. Shane Buechele, bad. You know, Mitch Trubisky. I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
I mean, you look at the numbers from Saturday, and ultimately the Bills only throw one interception, but it is a pick six.
And it was bad. And
you also look at the numbers. Between three quarterbacks, they threw for 123 yards. Between four quarterbacks, one of them only throwing 10 yards, the Bears threw for almost 200. So
they did get a lot of that though from Caleb Williams on that one screen pass.
Caleb Williams had 95 yards.
I think 45 of that was the screen pass to Swift.
But still, you have just a glaring need there, but it's not glaring because there's no immediate impact, right? Mm-hmm. Like I feel like this is one that just kind of gets overshadowed by the fact that Josh Allen is healthy, knock on wood, and if he isn't. Then it's a problem. Right now, it's not a problem. But it maybe should be a small one.
Kyle tweets, in 2012, Washington drafted RG3 and Kirk Cousins in the same draft. Didn't end up dealing Cousins, but tagged him 2 years and needed to use him as a starter. Ultimately, that is because of RG3's injuries. He would have had high value for sure. I agree with that. Like, you 100%. Got to a point with Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I mean, we see it. I mean, he gets away with highway robbery at this point with his guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, he's still playing.
He's still a very good quarterback, and that's the thing. You would have developed him. He'd be in your system. He'd be behind Allen. You know, Joe Brady, whoever your offense coordinator is at that time, you'd be able to build these guys up and, yeah, eventually deal them at some point. If not, as Kyle points out too, RG3 gets hurt. You now used him for a few years. They tagged him for 2 years. I mean, that I remember that saga. That was a whole thing, and actually – full transparency. I was somebody that before the Bills did break the drought, I was all in on potentially going to get Kirk Cousins. All in on him. I was a big Kirk Cousins fan before he got to Minnesota. Huge, Josh. I'm not going to defend myself. I'm just being transparent, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just being honest here.
Hey, it's okay. We all have our flaws.
It's the same with Sam Darnold. Me and Derek.
Now, I'm with you there. I drafted him when he went to Carolina. I drafted him that year in fantasy in like the seventh round. And everyone's like, what's he going to do?
Right.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to start him. And then I won my first three games in a row because he was unstoppable.
Carolina has burned me on my 2018 draft takes.
Oh, really?
with Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. Because both times I go to Carolina, I'm like, you know what? That's going to work.
And it works.
Neither time it works.
No, it works for like four games.
Baker didn't even last like four games.
No.
That was a disaster.
Sam Darnold, though, Sam Darnold looked good for like three or four games, and then there he goes.
But that Minnesota game came on, and I was ecstatic to watch Darnold and McCarthy play. I was ecstatic.
But hey, no, but there's another example. Look at Baker Mayfield. Obviously, he comes in as a starting quarterback, as the guy. But now he's bounced around to all these different teams, and now he's with the Buccaneers, and he's the guy again.
He signed a big deal.
Yeah, and obviously, it's a little bit of a different scenario because he was first overall, and it's Baker Mayfield, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not like Spencer Rattler in the fifth round. But at the same time, you still have that ability to move him and get something for him. In the Browns' case, it was a bit different. But I look at all of the guys that go in the later rounds of the draft, even a Stetson Bennett, right?
Like
he had four interceptions yesterday, but then he throws the game-tying touchdown.
And it looked good. It looked good.
But
no. He's like, honestly, though, and I'm being serious, he's like the last guy I'd wanted them to pick in like a draft because he's the same as Jake Fromm.
Yeah.
It's the Georgia quarterbacks. They're the new Alabama where they have no real physical traits. They're the fifth-year senior starter kind of deal. They're just on loaded teams. And then when they get to the NFL, you look at them and go, oh.
That was definitely their program, not
them. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, Tua Tagovailoa is the high end of all of the peak Georgia, Alabama guys. He's the high end. And we're all sitting here going, hey, he doesn't really elevate his team all that much, does he? That's the high end. Then you're looking at guys like Mac Jones. And then you get to other Bills backup quarterbacks, A.J. McCarron.
I still can't believe he was a Bill. It was for five minutes.
Yeah, but it still counted. Jalen Hurts might be the high end there, but I mean, he ultimately went to Oklahoma, and that's really what unlocked like his passing ability. But even then, I mean, will we all sit here and say like he's like a truly elite quarterback? No, he's had elite moments. The Super Bowl against Kansas City, I thought he was wonderful. But in terms of, you know, building a franchise around him, I don't know if I'm there yet. It's funny enough, kind of the same with him, Carson Wentz, when the Eagles are so interesting. But also, I just really quick looked up Sam Darnold in that 2021 season, those first four games. Completely forgot, 3-1. He threw 300 yards three times, should have thrown it for four, and he was really good. They went 3-1 in that run. He looked really good. That period of time is just not in my head anymore.
Like I said, I distinctly remember I was visiting, me and my girlfriend were visiting her brother in Rhode Island. We were sitting in a bar in Rhode Island. I was watching Sam Darnold absolutely deal it in the first week of the season. And I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest pick ever. I just won the draft. I just won the fantasy
season. I just won the draft in the seventh round.
And then 5 weeks later, it's, oh, darn it. I don't have a quarterback now.
Got to be humbled. Yeah. Got to be humbled. It's the key, Josh. Got to stay humble. Humble and kind.
We're into that season two, where we're going to learn how to do that.
I got to, real quick on fantasy, I have got to actually, in the main league that me and my dad are in, we've been in it for like 5 years, and we kind of run a team together. This is going to be the first time I'm not going to be able to be at the draft because it's a Monday night at like 7. And I'm like, guys, this is collusion. This is what it is. This is terrible. I hope some of them are listening. It's disrespectful. So I'm going to be texting in like picks. Like to my dad, who's going to be sitting at the draft going, these guys are up, I'm going to be trying my hardest here while running a show. I can't wait. I think it's like the 25th or
something
like
that. I think you guys should do the draft live on the show.
I'd be willing to do it.
Do it.
Why just not? Like throw it out to people. It's like, we got these three players up. Who do we want to take? And just see the responses.
Oh, that's I was just saying, have everyone call in. Do like a giant conference call.
I don't love conference calls, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a personal thing for me, but I don't like conference calls at all.
I think if you put out, here's the best three available guys, who do we go for? I bet you do pretty good.
Might be interesting. We'll see how I'm feeling. We'll see how I'm feeling that night. The community draft. I do. That is one thing though I love about fantasy football. I'm not the biggest fantasy football player. I do love though just getting together for a live draft.
Live drafts are so much better than over the phone.
Or
just like sitting at home on your own phone or on your own laptop or whatever.
You're hanging out with your buddies, having a few adult beverages. You get dinner.
Oh, you get pizza and wings. And have a good time.
It's so much fun. Does it go on way too long? 100%.
Yeah.
Should the draft take 6 hours? No, we are not in the professional football league.
But what happens is you sit there and you draft someone and then you all start talking about that player.
Yep.
And then it's just like, oh man, that's great. Okay, next pick.
With that being said though, when it is your turn, do not then start thinking about your pick.
Don't know. Have it in mind. Have a few options in mind before you pick.
Oh, that is the thing in any live draft I do, and I do a few of them, but there's always one player that, like, every time their pick comes up, they're like, oh, I'm up. Oh, well, who's available? And you're like, no, we're going to be here for 25 minutes.
To be fair, when you get into the later rounds, that's kind of okay, because then it's like, all right, well, I kind of lost interest after the sixth round.
I might know the rookie in Middle Tennessee State. You may not. I understand.
But it's also fine. The feeling of when you get to the later rounds and someone's available and no one remembers. Like, happened a few years ago when DeAndre Hopkins was first, like, coming back onto the scene. And my buddy was just, like, sitting there, like doing, like, the knee shake thing. And I'm like, you good? And he's like, yep, I'm good. And he's, like, sweating it out for, like, three picks. He's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. And then all of a sudden he just springs up, DeAndre Hopkins, and everyone's like, oh,
never let him see you sweat, but I understand that feeling. Yeah,
no, everyone's like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that guy. Where did that come from? Like, and he was a big producer that year, so.
Worked out well.
It's a good feeling when that happens, but it's a terrible feeling when you're on the other end of it.
Yeah, it is. It's the worst. Because
then you sit there and you're like, man, I feel so stupid. I drafted this guy, and I'm probably going to cut him after week one.
Got a more conviction than that. That's the key.
Yeah.
Even when, like, they're bad after, like, week three or four, be like, nah, the turnaround's coming. Coach just hasn't found it out yet. I found it out first. Coach hasn't yet. 803-0550 is the number to call. Kind of the question of the day. While, yes, it is preseason, what do you need to see in game two to feel a little bit better going into the year? Also, if you want to jump in on the backup quarterback conversation, we got a few tweets we'll hit up on the other side. Also, of course, taking your calls. Again, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's a balance between running what we've been practicing but not showing a whole lot to the world, too. It is preseason at the end of the day, so just wanting to see the guys' effort and how they go attack a game day. And this is, you know, the first stepping stone or milestone for a lot of these guys that have never played an NFL game. So, you know, get to see that and see how they respond to it. And, again, we'll turn on the film, we'll watch it, we'll get rid of it and move on.
That was Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen during the postgame. Not super long. I mean, it's preseason, you know. And I agree with most of what he said. I will say, though, like, McDermott during his post-game press conference, and even Allen there a little bit, too, it's like, what you really want to see, though, is, like, effort. You know, you don't want to see, you know, silly mistakes. With that being said, the Bills had 11 penalties on Saturday. That's not great. You don't love to see it. Now, again, a lot of it, I heard Steve Tasker on the TV as well saying this, that, you know, those, some of those are preseason penalties. You know, I get it. It doesn't, though, leave a good taste in your stomach. But let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We did a little bit of that in the first segment. Now we're going to read some tweets here. And again, the question kind of the day, you can jump in on Twitter or you can call us, 803-0550. Yes, it is preseason. But what do you need to see in Game 2 in Pittsburgh to feel better about the Bills? Paul tweets in, no injuries. Literally nothing else matters. Can fully get on board with that. I can totally understand that. Do you want to leave with a good taste in your stomach? You know, you want to have like a 45-10 win, and you're like, yeah, our backups are the best. Starters look great, the whole thing. Of course. But if Ed Oliver's injury on Saturday was serious, that 45-10 win all of a sudden is like a, literally don't care. My all-pro defensive tackle might be hurt. You know, it's one of those give and takes where, you know, it feels good when everything goes right. And that includes injuries, but that is ultimately the main thing for me personally with preseason is get up to game speed and stay healthy. Dan tweets in, effort, which
yeah,
resorted to McDermott's point as well during his post-game press conference, which is you just want to see better execution.
And
I
think
you want to see guys, you know, going at 100%.
I'm curious as to why there wasn't, or why it didn't look like there was more effort, because like
game planning.
Well,
I think the effort was there. I think it was more game planning.
I think so too, because these guys, most of these guys that are out there are fighting for roster spots. And you'd think that the effort would be 110%. You're going after every single play. But if you're not prepared properly, and I'm not saying that the Bills coaching staff didn't prepare them properly, but it just seemed like it was just kind of this run-of-the-mill, let's just go through the motions sort of thing. And it wasn't that they had a bad game plan. They just didn't have one.
It seemed like they did not have one.
And that's kind of alarming. I know they wouldn't do that for a regular season game, but it's still, this is, again, like I said before, this is the ramp up to the regular season. You should probably have somewhat of a skeleton of a game plan, and then your guys that are trying to make this team will be able to put this effort into it, because if you don't know what's going on and you put 100% effort, you're going to look foolish.
Yeah.
You're going to be going 100 miles an hour in one direction, and you should be going in a completely different way.
I guess it is where we're in different minds, because for me it's just more, again, like how I see preseason. I don't necessarily need to see all the execution. That's more for practice per se. Mm-hmm. You do want to see a little bit of it in the game. Like for me it's just I want to see guys get ramped up for game speed. You know, I do want to see, to a certain extent, like, you know, one of the tweets said, effort. Like, I just want to see these guys get up to game speed and then stay healthy.
But
that's really all preseason is for me. Like, I am somebody, I'd be happy, I can't wait, because it's eventually going to happen, 2 preseason games, that's it. Mm. I can't wait for the eventual day. I don't love the whole going to an 18-game schedule, don't get me wrong.
But if you trim the preseason
down again, I'm all for it. You know, Paul Hamilton brought it up last week, and it was a stunning thing to Derek Kramer, but, you know, the preseason used to be 6 games for a 14-game season. That's my own personal, like, ninth circle of hell. That's where, like, if I've done wrong, that's where I'm going to end up. I don't want that. If they eventually get it to 2 games, that's why I'm good, is because ultimately, for me at least, it never feels like it actually means anything. It always just feels like it's an extra way to just sell tickets, get fans in the seats, get a little bit of excitement going for the season. But ultimately, in terms of actual game planning, nothing really there.
But that's where I'm saying, like, I feel like you could have full effort from these guys if they had a little bit more game planning, if they had a little bit more of, like, preparedness.
Yeah.
Because even with the starters, I want to see effort from the starters, but I don't want to see you go out there and make some crazy diving catch where you flip over somebody, or I don't want to see Josh Allen hurdle someone in the preseason. Regular season, go for it. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, how'd you feel about him taking off?
When he ran like that, I was like, oh, there it is. And then I was like, oh, God, there it is. Stop.
There it is. Never mind.
It's like I was so excited to see it, but then I was like, wait, stop. Don't do that. And then it was fine because he got out of bounds and got the first down and all that stuff. But I'm just I want to see effort from the guys that are fighting for this team, fighting for the spots on this team. And I just don't think you'll see that unless you have more of a game plan. And it's, again, not like they had a bad game plan. It's just they didn't have enough of a game plan. And you don't want to take things too seriously, but you also don't want to be unprepared for the regular season.
Yeah.
And yes, you're going at game speed right now. You're going 100% pretty much. I mean, you're not going like you are in practice.
Mm-hmm.
You're going more than that, obviously. But I think that that's part of the reason why we didn't see full effort. I there were moments, sure, where it looked good. It looked normal. And, you know, you're pressuring the quarterbacks. You're making the quick, short plays that mm-hmm. you need to do to kill the clock and move down the field. But other than that, it just was very inconsistent.
So less on a broader scale, because we're kind of like talking about the team as a whole. We've mm-hmm. talked a little bit about the backup quarterbacks here. We can always jump back into that conversation. But in terms of like smaller player-by-player moments, did anyone really stand out to you? And I mean that honestly, because for me, I'm having a tough time. Like, look, Frank Gore, did he look all right? Sure. But for the most part, the running game didn't look great. I think
it's partially on the offensive line.
I agree. But for 26 total carries, they had 77 yards, good for an average of 3 yards per carry. So yes.
22 of them were Shane Buechel.
That's right. So it's
on
not,
three
it's
carries,
not awesome.
He had 22 yards, one of them being 14.
And so, like, ultimately, like that's maybe my biggest problem from this game. And if it, you know, problem being, you know, in quotes, is I feel like I got to look at no one really.
Yeah,
nothing really stood out because it felt like the Bears were trying a little bit closer to what the regular season would be, where the Bills were just like, all right, it's preseason game number one, everyone just stay
healthy.
Like
we said before, the Bears are in preseason game two, so they've kind of already done the song and dance of, hey, let's go out there and
just get out there,
just do it. And that was against the Texans in the Hall of Fame game, and now it's looking forward to game two for the Bills, which will be the Steelers this weekend at 7 o'clock.
Yep,
not 1 o'clock. 7 o'clock this Saturday.
It's a night preseason game.
Night preseason game.
Straight to jail.
Super fun.
Straight to jail.
But when you look at that game, I think you're going to see more of a game plan, more of a just basically what the Bears did, right? Like you're mm-hmm. going to see more starters, not necessarily Josh Allen, but like secondary starters, if you want to call them that. Like you're not going to see Allen or Von Miller or Matt Milano, but mm-hmm. you're going to see Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, maybe Mac Hollins if he's healthy. You're going to start to see those guys for longer periods of time, I think. And if that game looks like this game, then I'm going to have some questions.
Yeah.
But if you start to see, hey, the game plan's coming in, this is happening, that's happening, these guys are going more, it feels like they're more prepared, then okay, fine. Game one's out of the way. It's preseason. Doesn't matter. Game two, they looked better, and they're still getting ready for week one of the regular season.
Yeah.
Looking at specific players, though, I know it's kind of small, again, along with the quarterback position, but Tyler Bass made both field goals that he needed to do, one of them being a 49-yarder.
And with what was notable as wind, yeah.
Really pretty windy, yeah.
Sam Martin did not have a great day.
That was going to be my next thing. Mm-hmm. The negative I was looking at on the kicking side was Sam Martin looked really bad.
He had, early though, he had one that was like a great punt. And you're like, oh, all right, good. But yeah, the wind, I think, played a major factor in that.
I think at one point he had like a 37-yard punt.
I think the wind played a major factor in most of those bad punts.
Sure.
I heard on the TV that maybe the first, quote-unquote, botched one, he caught the outside of it. Or the ball caught the outside of his foot.
Yeah, that's the one that I think went like 37 yards and it like rolled off his foot.
Yeah.
Should not be happening. I'm sorry, but like I know it's a preseason game, but it's punting, right?
Yeah.
I can't do it. I'm not saying that it's easy.
Yeah.
But that's just a little bit of a issue I had because mm-hmm. if you're putting yourself in bad position there, you're setting yourself up for just a bad spot on defense.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not ideal. It's fixable, yes, but it's just not ideal to see right now.
Yeah, the one player, I mean, we talked a little bit about him in the first segment, but I do want to maybe give him more of the flowers because I don't want to say I was totally right on like I just didn't really get to see anybody. It was just in short spurts. Khalil Shakir though, again continues to kind of just be. I'm expecting major things from him this season, Josh, and I'm getting to a point where I don't want to be hyperbolic, I don't want to be too grandiose in like my expectations for him. But like 3 catches, 3 targets, 28 yards. One was a 19-yard catch that he was just able to take up the sideline and go after a quick catch. He seems to be a better version of the safety valve.
Yeah.
Like I do look at this receiving core. I don't think it's perfect. I don't think it's a finished product yet. Keon Coleman had three targets, two of which were by Mitch Trubisky, one by Allen. And to be fair, I know there's a bit of a joke yesterday I saw on Twitter that he, you know, that's not really separation. It was a comeback route. It was soft coverage anyways, and I agree with that. It was nice to see that they schemed him open to get separation. They were targeting me in the red zone, which I like to see. But it was more from maybe the two receivers that I think are really have a chance at leading this team in targets and receptions to see them used early, to see Curtis Samuel be used somewhat in a role that I imagine he will be used in, which is that quick screen game. He has more burst ability than, you know, I was talking with Derek Kramer about this during the game, and it was like, you know, they would try those stuff, like those, like, just quick outs to, you know, the screen, and then they would, you know, the receiver would essentially almost run into the offensive line to the hole they're created. With Diggs was fast, but he didn't have necessarily that burst ability. He was not
a burner. Overall speed. Not a burner. Boom, gone.
And those would work every now and then. Sometimes they'd really work, other times not really. Samuel feels like a guy that could really work often. That if you give him that little patch of grass, he's going to gain at least 5-6 yards. And that feels huge. Where, again, with Diggs, it was like, it works. You're getting your best player, your best offensive weapon, the ball. It's awesome. It didn't always feel like it worked that much. And again, I've been somebody that says I don't totally know how much they're actually going to stretch the field in terms of their passing. I think they are going to be an offense that, you know, last year with Ken Dorsey at the helm of the offense, they pushed the envelope a little bit too much. They went deep maybe when they really should have, you know, condensed the offense. Now, Joe Brady, it feels like they're going to do that. And again, just going back to that 2020 season with Brady as the OC and him being to nearly get three receivers to 1,000 yards, one of which you could argue is definitely good. That's DJ Moore. The other one is Chosen Anderson, at the time Robbie Anderson. And the other one is Curtis Samuel. He ultimately does not get 1,000 yards. But he's doing this with Teddy Bridgewater, who by far and away threw for a career high in yards, I think for like 3,500. He was a guy that, like, if he threw for 250 yards, that was a lot. You know, he was never a guy in the NFL, even with the Vikings before his horrific injury, never a guy that was throwing for a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns. He was just a really good game manager. All of a sudden with Brady, he was great. And I guess that's where I'm finding myself is it's not a lot of names, but I think it's not a lot of names yet.
Yeah.
I'm really getting there with Shakir, Kincaid, obviously, but it maybe even Samuel to a certain extent.
Well, I think with Samuel, too, the promise is there because of what you can see in the past. What he's done with Brady specifically and then just in general, that play style is something the Bills haven't had in a very long time. And I think, if ever, if you want to say it that way, because if you want to look at Shakir as a Cole Beasley replacement, finally, then that's fair. But then Samuel is kind of something they've never had. It's something they tried to make Isaiah McKenzie, which was that gadget guy where all of a sudden, oh, look, there's a wide receiver in the backfield. What's he going to do? Oh, a nice little screen pass up the middle. Great. Cool. That got 12 yards and a first down. Awesome. Let's do it again. That's something they tried to do with McKenzie, but it didn't work. And now you basically have a specialist in that sort of play with Samuel. And you've seen him do that with Joe Brady specifically. So it's the prospect of that is exciting. And what you saw on Saturday and the two times he caught the ball looked exactly like what you were trying to get when you signed him. So yeah. I think that's where the excitement comes from with Samuel. And then with the rest of the offense, it's just kind of, we've done this before. It's just the same thing with different players. Shakir, Beasley. Kincaid, that's new, right? Like, that's kind of, you haven't had a tight end like that.
I'm getting to a point, man, with Shakir. I think he's going to be better than Beasley, which feels incredibly lofty because in his prime with Allen, he was an all-pro wide receiver, all-pro slot wide receiver.
But that's why I'm comparing him to him because it looks like he can do exactly that. I just think with Shakir, it's going to be this, like, unless it's just him, he's going to be very under the radar in that sense because it's not going to be this Diggs-like season where he's racking up all these yards and everything. But I think it's going to be a season where he's just there when you need him, and it's very important when you need him. That was what Beasley was for a long time, and everyone's like, hey, Cole Beasley, there he is. All right, moving on. And that's all you would do every once in a while was, oh, look, there we got him. There he is. great. He's still there.
I totally feel like it's going to be like a 90-plus catch season for Shakir.
Yeah.
Like, I do feel like he's going to be like a named guy that like average NFL fans are going to know. I'm not sure on his highest number. I think targets, I know he has gotten above 100 with the Bills, but I'm not sure after that. I just, for me, though, with Shakir, I feel like I'm almost losing it now.
His highest receptions for the Bills, 82 yards, 2 years, 2021 and 2020.
Yeah, I think Shakir's going to break that this year.
Yeah,
I think so, too. I think quite easily.
But think about those years. I mean, in those years, he had, in 2020, he had 82 receptions, 107 targets, 967 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And not that he was, and that was his all-pro season, too. And not that he was, you know, this overlooked player, but it wasn't like he was, like, the focal point. That's how I think Shakir will be. It'll be, he's there when you need him, but he's not the main thing in your offense.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of what he needs to be, is this 1,000 to 1,100 yard guy. I think he needs to have more than 1,000 yards to kind of be this important player. But at that point, maybe he will become your focal point if he's getting up into those types of numbers. But I just think that he has to be something like that or better to be what you need him to be. That's what the team needs.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number to call. Are we being a bit crazy? I think Shakir can push for 100 receptions. Love to hear your thoughts. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Josh, you had a bit of a fun weekend.
Yes. I went to the fair yesterday.
Look at that. How was it? I'm not really a big fair guy.
Why not?
Like, I like fair food.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not going to get me to go out there, I guess.
Okay, yeah. I get that. I mean, I go once a year. Sometimes I'll go like two. Last year I went three, and I was like, yeah, I've seen all this stuff like a bunch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm kind of good. Now, like sometimes there's different days that are like day specific. You'll see stuff, and it's like, okay, that's cool. But this year I only went yesterday, and I'm probably only going to go that day. Maybe I'll sneak out one more time. But it was good. I participated in a show.
Wait, what show?
Never done that before. I was telling Jeremy Joe about it a little bit. It's called the Red Trousers Show. They're like acrobatic comedians.
Okay. That's
and
fun.
And it was great. They were really impressive. I had to hold a ladder with a rope. It was a freestanding ladder.
Okay.
Standing straight up in the air.
Okay.
And me and like six other guys, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Eight, actually, because there were two on each rope and there were four ropes.
Okay.
We had to hold these ropes and it would just keep the ladder straight in the air. And these guys climb up the ladder and do a handstand on the top of it.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. I was terrified. I was like, if this...
Because now,
what if it's
like,
my fault? Yeah, you know? What if they fall? Like, what happens?
You feel like their lives are in your hands. And realistically, they're like, they're prepared for that stuff. But like, but what if they aren't?
No, but like, what do you do to be prepared for that?
It's also a fair question.
We're in a blacktop parking lot on a hill, mind you.
Yep.
So it's... And it's windy. But yeah, it was a great day. Food was good. I had buffalo corn on the cob. That was great.
Ooh.
My girlfriend at the same corn on the cob place had a unicorn on the cob, which is corn with vanilla custard and fruity pebbles on it. I didn't try it.
I would have tried that.
I was a little.
That's why you go to the fair. You go get food that you're like, oh my gosh, my body's going to hate me after this, but I'm going to love it in the moment.
But I just looked at it. I'm like, I don't think cereal is supposed to be on corn.
Deep fried Oreos, though.
That's fair food
to me.
I got those. Got deep fried cookie dough.
Yeah, also perfect.
They take a ball of cookie dough, they put it in batter, and they deep fry it. And then when you open it, it's all ooey and gooey inside.
Yep, perfect.
It's so good. Played I Got It, didn't win. Surprise.
Well, you did your best. You tried.
I have a vengeance against fair games. I played a bunch yesterday.
You do know they're designed for you to lose, right?
I know.
Okay.
But I want to make sure that you I did the one where you throw the baseball at the beer bottles that are turned upside down into the wooden thing. And you're kind of supposed to hit the wooden thing or like the base of the bottle. It makes the bottle pop out and fall on the ground.
Yep.
You're not supposed to break the bottle with the throw.
Correct.
You're supposed to knock it out. I hit the wooden thing 5 times.
Nothing.
I knocked one bottle out.
Oof.
And it fell on the ground. I was like, great. And the guy's like, yeah, but that was your last ball. And I'm like, cool. So I don't win anything. He's like, nope, you got to knock out 2. And I'm like,
nope.
Sweet. See you later. And like,
And they get you with the big stuffed animals.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because every movie you've seen that involves like a fair or an amusement mm-hmm. park that happens, like, oh, the main character does it, and I'm the main character of my life. I can do
exactly.
this
exactly,
and then yeah, you can't.
But the frustrating part is like, you look at it and you're like, this is easy. I could totally do this, and then it's like, no,
nope,
never mind. The one game though that I will say is those water races with the little water guns.
Those are shoot fun. The target. Those are fun.
We had a big enough group where we all line up on one side. Someone's gonna win. And luckily enough, it was my girlfriend's niece, so she got a nice big stuffed animal.
You feel good. You feel great.
You know what?
About
the
it.
kids won, so that's good. That's good to see.
That's key.
Overall, great time.
Good experience. That's good.
Yeah.
And like you said, you go like once a year?
Yeah. Spent too much money on some Bills shirts, wearing one right now.
Always do it.
Love it. Could have bought like 12 more and, you know, made some good financial decisions, mm-hmm. but...
We don't do that in the summer.
But we move on.
803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here for another hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Josh, you had a bit of a fun weekend.
Yes. I went to the fair yesterday.
Look at that. How was it? I'm not really a big fair guy.
Why not?
Like, I like fair food.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not going to get me to go out there, I guess.
Okay, yeah. I get that. I mean, I go once a year. Sometimes I'll go like two. Last year I went three, and I was like, yeah, I've seen all this stuff like a bunch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm kind of good. Now, like sometimes there's different days that are like day specific. You'll see stuff, and it's like, okay, that's cool. But this year I only went yesterday, and I'm probably only going to go that day. Maybe I'll sneak out one more time. But mm-hmm. It was good. I participated in a show.
Wait, what show?
Never done that before. I was telling Jeremy Joe about it a little bit. It's called the Red Trousers Show. They're okay. Like acrobatic comedians.
Okay. That's
fun. And it was great. They were really impressive. I had to hold a ladder with a rope. It was a freestanding ladder,
okay,
standing straight up in the air.
Okay.
And me and like six other guys, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Eight, actually, because there were two on each rope and there were four ropes.
Okay.
We had to hold these ropes and it would just keep the ladder straight in the air. And these guys climb up the ladder and do a handstand on the top of it.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. I was terrified. I was like, if this...
Because now,
what if it's
like,
my fault? Yeah, you know, what if they fall? Like, what happens? What
you feel like their lives are in your hands, and realistically, they're like they're prepared for that stuff. But like, but what if they aren't?
No, but like, what do you do to be prepared for that?
It's also a fair question.
We're in a blacktop parking lot on a hill, mind you.
Yep.
So it's windy, but yeah, it was a great day. Food was good. I had buffalo corn on the cob. That was great.
Ooh.
My girlfriend at the same corn on the cob place had a unicorn on the cob, which is corn with vanilla custard and fruity pebbles on it. I didn't try it.
I would have tried that.
I was a little.
That's why you go to the fair. You go get food that you're like, oh my gosh, my body's going to hate me after this, but I'm going to love it in the moment.
But I just looked at it. I'm like, I don't think cereal is supposed to be on corn.
Deep fried Oreos, though.
That's fair food
to me.
I got those. Got deep fried cookie dough.
Yeah, also perfect.
They take a ball of cookie dough, they put it in batter, and they deep fry it. And then when you open it, it's all ooey and gooey inside.
Yep, perfect.
It's so good. Played I got it, didn't win, surprise.
Well, you did your best.
I have a vengeance against fair games. I played a bunch yesterday.
You do know they're designed for you to lose, right?
I know.
Okay,
but I want to make sure that you. So I did the one where you throw the baseball at the beer bottles that are turned upside down into the wooden thing.
Yeah,
and you're kind of supposed to hit the wooden thing or like the base of the bottle, and it makes the bottle pop out and fall on the ground.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to break the bottle with the throw.
Correct.
You're supposed to knock it out. I hit the wooden thing 5 times.
Nothing.
I knocked one bottle out.
Oof.
And it fell on the ground. I was like, great. And the guy's like, yeah, but that was your last ball. And I'm like, cool. So I don't win anything. He's like, nope, you got to knock out two. And I'm like,
nope.
Sweet. See you later. And like...
And they get you with the big stuffed animals.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because every movie you've seen that involves like a fair or an amusement mm-hmm. park that happens, like, oh, the main character does it, and I'm the main character of my life. I can do this.
Exactly.
And then you can't.
But the frustrating part is like... You look at it and you're like, this is easy. I could totally do this. And then it's like, no.
Nope.
Never mind. The one game, though, that I will say is those water races with the little water guns.
Those are fun. Those are fun.
We had a big enough group where we all line up on one side. Someone's going to win. And luckily enough, it was my girlfriend's niece. So she got a nice big stuffed animal.
You feel good. You feel great.
You know what?
About
the kids won, so that's good. That's good to see.
That's key.
Overall, great time.
Good experience. That's good.
Yeah.
And like you said, you go like once a year?
Yeah. Spent too much money on some Bills shirts. Wearing one right now.
Always do it.
Love it. Could have bought like 12 more and, you know, made some good financial decisions, mm-hmm. but
we don't do that in the summer.
But we move on.
803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here for another hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.